First public hearing is change of zone number 1630 LT Associates LLC.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the southeast corner of the intersection of Road 267, also known as Gills Neck Road, and Road 268, also referred to as King's Highway, to be located on 68.3 acres, more or less. For the benefit of the record, the applicants provided the commission with an exhibit booklet, which I have in my possession. All the commissioners have a copy. The exhibit booklet was received on December 28th. It includes a reference to the project team, a photo review of existing conditions, plus comments. The plus is the preliminary land use service handled through the state planning office. It's a copy of their final letter, a copy of the planning and zoning application with the development report in compliance with zoning references, references to land use surrounding the zoning and the site location with a series of maps and text, a stormwater conceptual plan and approach, traffic and site circulation references to Gills Neck Road, King's Highway, and regional pedestrian bikeway connections, and utility providers. That is a part of the record. For the benefit of the commission, we've provided to them this evening a copy of correspondence that's just been received in the last couple of days. The packet that I gave them includes references to both, since the majority of the letters received in opposition were to both applications. So the correspondence that I provided to the commission includes references to change zone 1630 and also conditional use 1772 in one packet combined. And they include comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division to both applications. Copy of correspondence just received by fax from the Delaware Agriculture Land Preservation Foundation. A copy of the Sussex Conservation District Memorandum in reference to both applications. And then we also received some letters and some emails, both which are all considered to be a part of the record. A letter in opposition from Richard McKay. A second correspondence from Richard McKay. A correspondence in opposition from Gina Ricker. Two correspondence from Jules Jackson. Of course, an opposition letter from Dr. Peter G. or J. Kowaleski. Letter of opposition from Tiffany Derrickson. A letter of opposition from Chet and Denise Pozlowski. I probably said that wrong, and I apologize if I did. And a letter of opposition from Betsy B. Farlow. And a letter and opposition from Michael A. Wheatley. They are a part of the record. All the commissioners have copies of those correspondence. And I'm sure you didn't want to have me sit here and read them. That's all I have, gentlemen, at this time, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from Wilson, Halbrook & Byard here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, LT Associates, LLC. I have with me this evening, to my immediate right, Tom Ford, who is the design consultant on this project. To my immediate left, I have Paul Townsend, who is a member of the limited liability company that is the applicant. And in addition to these gentlemen, I also have Steve McCabe of George Miles & Buehr, who will discuss some of the stormwater management and wastewater issues for this project. Excuse me. Derek Kennedy of Orth Rogers, who will discuss traffic issues. Tucker Mooreshead, who will discuss hydrological issues. and Jeremy Combine, who is here from Tidewater Utilities, who will answer any questions that you may have concerning this particular application. By way of addressing some of the common issues, I think that every person in this room in one way or another acknowledges that these two applications are related to each other. And I know I have been asked on a number of occasions today, yesterday, and throughout all the week by my clients and others to find a way to make a common thread for some, if not all, of the presentations that we have to make to you this evening so that we don't have to duplicate or repeat certain presentations. It seems to me that the best we can hope for is that the hydrological and the traffic issues may be resolved by one testimony, and I think the best I can do at this point is offer to you that upon the conclusion of that testimony and upon the conclusion of the testimony of the opponents to this application, we'll make a quick decision as to how much, if any, can be reincorporated into the second presentation in order to expedite the process and keep us from being here Monday morning for breakfast. Having said all of that, I think that each of you as commission members are familiar with the locale of this project. It's on Gill's Neck Road. It is adjacent or near to the project that we presented to you a couple weeks ago, identified as the Senators. The project, as Lawrence has described it, is at the intersection of Gill's Neck Road at King's Highway. It's across the street from the property that's owned by the Cape and Lopen High School and by a project or a property of some other farmlands. The Senators, the Governors are all one of one large tax map parcel. This particular project site, that is for the Townsend Village Center, contains 68.3 acres and is currently zoned AR1 Agricultural Single Family Residential District and is devoted to the farming operations of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. And the proposal we have before you is for a CR1 Commercial Residential District with the intent of having a 520,000 square foot commercial use at this locale. Under the comprehensive plan, the property is identified as an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. And within the state strategies map, portions of the property are identified as level 2, and that is suburban or rapidly growing areas with public water and wastewater, or level 3, which is adjacent to or intermingled with fast growing areas. We have, as Lawrence has pointed out, filed with you a number of exhibits that I asked be incorporated into the record as a part of these proceedings and as a part of the proceedings later on if we have overlap on the matters of hydrology and traffic. Within those exhibit books, you will find the usual array of documentation that we typically provide the commission ahead of time in order to allow you to study the application and be informed before we get to the public hearing. I would draw your attention to at least the PLUS report, which is the first review that's given by something akin to a regulatory agency. And in that PLUS report, it should be noted before we begin this evening that the Department of Agriculture had no objection to this project. And DLDOT referred to the cooperation that was given between my client and DLDOT in terms of resolution of various traffic issues. The reason that I ask you to put that point up this early in the process is that I believe that we're going to spend a lot of time focusing on those two issues as the evening wears on, and that those two issues will become important after the opposition has had an opportunity to testify. The opponents have filed a number of documents or letters with the commission, many of which are restating some of the same objections that were previously heard when we were here several weeks ago with the Senator's project. I do want to address one of these, and that is that this process did not begin 5 days before Christmas. This process began back in 2003, 2004, when the concept of the expansion of the various LTA, J.G. Townsend properties along Gill's Neck Road began. And as Mr. Ford will describe for you, and so will Derek Kennedy, as early as 2005. The applicant was meeting with DLDOT to work on these particular projects. So this is not something that came up overnight. I should also point out to you, as you will soon hear from the various technical people that will testify, this has not been entered into lightly. It is not something that was done capriciously, just on the spur of the moment. There was a considerable amount of thought and technical work that went into the preparation of these particular projects and the applications that you will hear this evening. Two things, or at least one thing that's unique about this, is that this is in the CR1 district, and it does contain more than 75,000 square feet, so there are different height, area, and bulk requirements that would apply to this particular application. With these thoughts in mind, I will, if you'll permit me, ask Mr. Ford to come to the podium and present the first technical look at this particular project.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone that would like to get up and quietly come over, take a look at this. I know it's difficult to see from the back of the room, but so if you would like to walk up behind the applicant and take a look, you're welcome to do so. Just do it quietly, if you would, please. Okay, Mr. Ford, it's all yours.
Tom Ford, Land Design, and I'll be walking back and forth from the podium to the gentlemen. I would like to orient this somewhat so that the council or the commission can see it.
That's fine.
I don't want to preclude the audience members as well, but I think I'm about as best I can do.
You're fine. Good. You're fine. Anyone that, again, that would like to have a close-up, feel free.
The site graphically is overlaid over a photo here. This heavy line here is Route 1, just to get everybody oriented. We have Lewis, Cape Henlopen, we have Rehoboth, we have the Junction Breakwater Trail splitting behind the Route 1 here and coming through the site. Primarily, it's been farming operations on this site for over 100 years by this family. And currently, the Sussex County, with their growth, is experiencing change of land use, and this site has been earmarked for conversion from farming operations to residential and commercial operations. As early as back in the mid-80s, when they cut out a large piece of the farm here and called it Wolf Run and developed it, it's a highly acceptable community that's been successful. In the early mid-90s, they extended that same concept into Wolf Point. During the construction of Wolf Point, it became obvious that wastewater needs was a primary function of handling the development along the Gills Neck Road area. So we do have Steve McCabe here, who will get into the wastewater background and history and where we are from that period to today. As each community was requested and approved and then developed, different criteria played into it. We now have a community known as Hawk's Eye that is under construction, and with that, DLDOT requirements required a widening of Gills Neck Road, a shoulders to be installed, landscaping, and a multi-purpose path be installed along the frontage of that. The Senator's project, which is adjacent to that, the Governor's project will be heard in our next application, and the Townsend Village Center are three projects that really are working in concert to extend those improvements along Gills Neck Road, widening the shoulders, and extending the multi-use path all the way on out to Kings Highway. Part of that improvement to Gills Neck Road will include a softening of and flattening of this hairpin turn that now exists out there. We are proposing, with the Townsend Village Center and Governors, a shared entry into the site off of Gills Neck Road. And as we were doing the course of this planning, there was the opportunity to finally link Rehoboth to Lewis through a corridor that is shown here in white. That link is 4,820 linear feet. It's no small link, it's nearly a mile. That is a key ingredient, and it's by all respects historical, to have a pedestrian bicycle way that now connects Lewis, and the Delaware Route 1 can be averted because of it. Hopefully in the future, and it doesn't really have much to do with this application, but it does have to do with overall impact to the area. There's a small link missing right here around the Gordon Pond area that someday hopefully can link Rehoboth, Cape Henlopen, Lewis, Gills Neck, back to Rehoboth. People could take their bikes, walk, and do whatever, but that's long-term regional planning that is out of our bailiwick. For now, we've accommodated this critical link here through these developments. To give an overview of each of these sites, this is a composite of the entire parcel, which is 540 acres. And out of that 540 acres, the Hawkeye subdivision has been subdivided out. The Senator's subdivision is pending approval. The Governor's subdivision is pending a hearing. And the Village Center is the 68 acres up here by the highway. So as each of these individual applications get heard, there will be a subdivision on this entire parcel, which was all one piece at one time. The plan seeks a zoning change to CR1 designation. The site's located along a principal arterial roadway that's a functional classification of DLDOT. It's also a criteria under Sussex County that any CR1 project be located along a major thoroughfare. Along this principal highway, there are other general mixtures of commercial service activities that do now exist. We're seeking 520,000 square feet, plus or minus. It will be subject to a site plan. This particular plan is an illustrative plan for zoning only here tonight. We would have to come back with a site plan, but what it's illustrating is that the number of square foot of building, the allocation for parking and stormwater management are reasonably within the parameters of what can be done on the 68 acres. This plan will most likely be leased by banks, a theater, department stores, grocery stores, and other services. It does have central water. It does have county sewer. The area is 68.3 acres. It's all cleared. It's presently all farmland. There are no wooded areas in it. There are no 404 lands. There are no tidal wetlands. It's all uplands. We will be proposing interconnectivity between this project and the remaining projects of Governors, and then there's interconnectivity between Governors and Senators, and Senators and Hawkeye. So as far as internal traffic and use of this center from these additional developments, it all could happen internally. We have taken out what is deemed environmentally sensitive lands out of this proposal. It will not be part thereof. And so that's why we have 100% uplands on this. We believe that by the time we're done with the site plan approval, we will come back with a plan that is walkable, bikeable, and that would be suitable to this particular area for this type of use. In your booklet, on tab 1, page 6, we do have a photo tour of existing conditions. On photo 1, we are showing Kings Highway looking toward Route 1. It does have medical services, banking, funeral homes, realtors, contractors, and food shops along this corridor presently today. Photo 2 is a picture of Clay Road intersection and Kings Highway. And note to the right that there's a vacant farm field, which is known as the Jones Farms, which we will be discussing later in this presentation. This particular intersection will be subject to DLDOT studies that will be talked to again also later during our presentation. Photo 3 is a view of the Lewis Water well fields which on this map are located right in this narrow strip of land right here. There are five well fields there right now, and a chemical treatment facility. Photo four is a shot looking down the road at the Lewis Board of Public, Department of Education offices and the Cape Henlopen School. And as you travel further down the road, you can find attorneys, pizza, Chinese takeout, flowers, and a multitude of other services. Photo five is a shot of on Gills Neck Road, looking at the intersection of Gills Neck and Kings Highway. And this particular intersection will undergo significant changes and improvements. Photo six is a view of the farm field. The you can see that it's not of high diversity as far as topography or vegetation. It has been farmed for nearly a century, and it is lands that are well drained, that are capable of withstanding this kind of an application on this particular site. And photo seven is a view looking east along Gills Neck Road, and it shows the Cadbury housing units that will be just to the left as you travel down that road. The planning process is a process that starts with surveying, topography, a property line survey of the entire parcel. It identifies the wood lines. We hire wetland delineators who delineate and flag the 404 lands, the tidal wetlands. We then hire surveyors who go out and capture those flags. Everything's put to meet and bounds, and it's plotted on the plan so that before we start planning, we have all that information up front. We know where everything is. What's unique with this project and this client is he was aware that there may be archaeological significance on the property. He hired a private consultant, Hype Consultants, to do archaeological digs out there to identify high probability areas. And between, though it's not shown on Senators, it's another plot that was also identified, but on this particular plot, there were three areas that were identified that we have taken out of play, so to speak, for any development to happen in those areas. The village center, we just went ahead and drew the line so that we would leave those conservation lands to be dealt with when we move into the governor's application. We started contact with DelDOT. It was July of 2004. DelDOT was contacted, though the plan that we see tonight has been massaged and manipulated from the day that we first started this 3.5 years ago. The concept and impact of what we proposed is consistent with what we started 3.5 years ago. We had always indicated single family homes on Senators. We would have a multifamily development in Governors, and we would be looking for a commercial center out on Kings Highway. Along that line, DelDOT has worked with us. That was July of 2004. You can only do the summer. It only counts to do traffic studies, can only be done in the summer. Those were done in the summer of 2005. A preliminary TIS was put together in the fall of 2005, and a final TIS, that's after getting comments back from DelDOT and working with them, was put forth to them. It's a study that was presented to DelDOT dated May 18th, 2006. That's 20 months ago. That TIS has not been issued its final letter from DelDOT. And on DelDOT's behalf, DelDOT is trying to put together this information with a regional internal TIS that takes in more than the intersections and things that this projects would affect. And I think that's been the big delay, because even in their plus comments, DelDOT commits to getting us that letter in June 2007. Then verbally, we were going to get it in September of 2007. Here we are, January 2008, and we
I can only say it's imminent that we will get that letter from them. But we can't respond to that letter without having the letter. What I can say is we realized early on that there was going to be a significant change to Gills Neck Road. We could basically run numbers and realize that Gills Neck Road needed improvements. So a concept plan for the Gills Neck Road improvements was devised. This concept plan up top here shows Kings Highway, Gills Neck Road, and the turn all the way down to Hawk's Eye. Hawk's Eye has already been improved along with Breakwater. What you see at Hawk's Eye and Breakwater is pretty reminiscent for what's going to happen along this segment of the road down to here, which is just east of the entrance to Governor's and Townsend Village Center. There's also going to be a flattening of the curb. This right here is a blow up of that segment of road. If you'll go out there today, you'll see that the plantings and things from Cadbury are offset off the road. There's a dirt area between the travelway today and the plantings. That area is the area that there's going to be a 600-foot radius placed into there to smooth out that and flatten out that curb. This plan, by the way, is under engineering right now. It's that far along that DelDOT has committed to these improvements that we have now put it under engineering. That engineering is not being done by DelDOT. It's being done by GMB. GMB has been contracted privately, and he's being paid by the developers of this project to do that engineering. The last segment of the road is a segment from about 400 feet behind the entrance of Governor's, this entrance right here, between Governor's and the Townsend Village Center. There is a dedication of 56 additional feet that's going to happen on Gills Neck Road. That 56 additional feet is in addition to the 50 feet that's already out there. There'll be, when you put them together, there'll be a 106-foot right-of-way for about 1,200 feet into Gills Neck Road. In that 1,200-foot run, there'll be a planted boulevard. There'll be a planted boulevard. There'll be protected left turning lanes. There'll be decel lanes for coming in. There'll be a protected left lane for turning this way. There's a lot of movements that are going to be accommodated by the improvement. The reason it's 56 feet is to maintain aesthetics as well as function. It could be done, all of the things I just said could have been done for a lot less square footage being granted on this dedication. But the boulevard entrance was an aesthetic that DelDOT wanted, the developers wanted, they met. Even though the developers are paying for it, they have agreed to it. In addition to that, there'll be landscaped edges of the road and a multi-use path that extends for that entire portion of land that will connect the Hawkeye development, the Senator's development, and along the entire length of Gills Neck Road, and also along the entire length of Kings Highway. Part of the planning process is to make sure we have utility providers. We've discussed the sewer, and we've discussed we haven't discussed water. Water is being provided by Tidewater Utilities. Delaware Electric Co-op will be the electric provider, and Verizon Telephone and Cable. Again, I'll leave the sewer to Steve McCabe to discuss. One of the early parts of putting a plan together of this nature is to put your plans together. We did work with DelDOT much earlier than we needed to get their involvement. But the first step normally is the PLUS process. And in the PLUS process, we presented this plan to PLUS on March 2007, 10 months ago. And Connie Holland's letter states that they appreciate the developer's cooperation and further states
and this is on tab 2 for those who have a booklet, that the state had no objection to the development of this property. It's very rare that we can get a comment like that out of the state on any project. And I've been through a multitude of projects. And for the state to have actually write they have no objection to the development of this property is a big deal. The state's not going to come out and say, we support your project. They're not going to do it. So the best you could ever get from the state is to have them state that there's no objection to the development of this property. They note that there was concerns with the site plan. However, they also note that the developer addressed those concerns. So the plan that you see is in consideration of some of their comments. But the comments and responses to PLUS were they had concerns about a buffer being provided. Well, because we took all the woodland and environmental areas out of the process, there is the tidal wetlands of this project begins and starts about 600 feet away from the corner of this project. The 404 lands is indicated on the black line. Currently, there is no setback regulated to the 404 lands. These are lands that if you walked out there today, you would not even know that they'd be classified as such. It's dry. They do experience wet-footed areas, and it's mostly between January and March that they get classified as such. But we are indicating a 25-foot setback that would hold against those lands, and there is no regulation for that, but we are providing that. Another concern they had was with impervious surface. We do have a hydrogeological engineer here. He will discuss some preliminary impervious surface calculations that he's conducted and the impact on the neighboring Lewis well fields. The Department of Historic and Cultural Affairs commended in the PLUS process the developer for the generous conservation of land and primarily for the protection of the cultural aspects. DelDOT, in the PLUS comments, stated that there was a comprehensive planning process ongoing, that they had prior opportunities to review the plan, that it was generally supportive of the plan. That, again, is a rare comment to get from any state agency in the PLUS process. They had no negative comments. DNREC spoke of voluntary stewardship, which was essential to maintaining green infrastructure and conservation in Delaware, and the Department of Agriculture, who knows that the lands adjacent to this property are in preservation, stated in the PLUS comments they had no objection to the development of this land. As part of the process, tab 3 is our application. If you go one blue divide, you'll see a Townsend Village Center, Sussex County Development Report. It's part of the application criteria when you're in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. It asks you to determine certain criteria, such as stormwater. In this instance, it will be treated for quality. It will be using BMPs and existing systems. It asks about water. The water will be by tidewater. There was a 12-inch transmission line installed. It'll serve Hawkeye, Cadbury, Breakwater, Senators, Governors, and the Townsend Village Center. As per wellhead protection, it was a concern brought up by PLUS. Again, we'll have Tucker Mooreshead discuss that particular issue in more detail than I can. Current competition, though, the water with the City of Lewis Wells will be eliminated if this application is approved. What I'm speaking about is there are agricultural wells on this site. They produce or take from that groundwater aquifer quite a bit of water. Again, Tucker will get into the detail of that. This site, Governors, Senators, Hawkeye, and Cadbury will all be served by tidewater. The production wells for that consumptive use and for fire use are located west of Route 1. They're at Painter's Mill, Maplewood, Rolling Meadows, Rehoboth Mall, and the Plantations. That's where the tidewater wells are. The water is stored in a 750,000-gallon tank behind the Home Depot. And then it's distributed throughout a major network via transmission lines throughout Lewis and Rehoboth. There will be no on-site production wells for this development, and there will not be competition between our water use and the city of Lewis. Wastewater will be operated by Sussex County. Again, Steve McCabe will take care of that. Traffic, the improvement concepts to the entry access of Gills Neck Road, I went over in detail. It'll include the multi-purpose path, the flattening of the hairpin curve, the connectivity with Junction Breakwater Trail. And we are awaiting the Kings Highway traffic impact study to move forward from there. Rare and endangered species was recorded. There are no records of state or federal listed plants, animals, and natural communities at this site. They did recommend that the forest stay intact, and I think we have complied. Tidal and non-tidal wetlands. No development will occur in any tidal or non-tidal wetlands. Open space. There's no requirement for open space in a commercial CR1 zoning. However, we do make a strong connection and landscape proposal that would run the length of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road. That landscape area would be a 60-foot vegetated landscape zone from the property line. It will also include a multi-use path, and it will adhere to the highway overlay corridor as a proffer that is existing on Route 1 and 113 and 13. Public and private infrastructure, all the roads and travelways will be up to county spec. They will remain private. I discussed the Delaware Electric Co-op and Verizon on telephone. Historic and cultural resources, we did identify them, and we did do a survey to protect them and have advanced the design to do so. We do believe this is a superior living environment of this particular site. It's an efficient use of infrastructure. We've created buffers from the highway, both Gills Neck and Kings Highway. And we have voluntary buffers from the adjacent wetlands as well. We are looking at extending the bikeway connection, not only along Gills Neck and along Kings Highway, but through the commercial site. Conservation of riparian woods, floodplains, wildlife habitat, and cultural sites, which will offer a protected corridor for wildlife movement and bioreserves. And the off-site benefits to the estuary are apparent with taking the farming operation and chemicals and pesticides out of production and putting in the waste that we do produce into the sewer system and off to the plant. We believe we're in compliance with zoning. The purpose of a CR1 is to provide sufficient space in an appropriate location for a wide variety of commercial and miscellaneous services. Located on the major thoroughfares where a general mix of commercial and service activity now exists, this corridor presently has two churches, a Presbyterian and Baptist church along this corridor. There's contractors for pool and spas. There's Martin Electric. There's Russ Palmer Builders. They have banks, the Institute LLC and the Delaware National Bank, Parcel Funeral Home, HZQ LLC, Canary Creek Holding Company. They have dentists, orthodontics, cardiologists, doctor's office, Gallo and Lingo Realtors. They have flowers, pizza, and Chinese shops. They have SunTrust mortgage accountants and attorneys. It does comply with zoning and the fact that there's a mixture that only a CR1 would be anticipated on a major thoroughfare, and that has the character of these kind of operations within its vicinity. The application also complies It complies to Chapter 115.83, whereas the plan's located to serve a large area and has appropriate infrastructure to support it. CR1 zoning has access standards that will also be met. In the change of zone to go to CR1, they want a minimum number of access points. There's only two on Kings Highway, one with four movements, and again, it will be subject to the DLDOT report and letter, but we are looking at a full movement on Clay Road, which is left in, left out, right in, right out, and through traffic. We're also looking at a right in and right out down further from Clay Road, and the shared entrance here between Governors and the highway. That's also stated in the compliance of zoning to try to share and minimize those entrances. I believe this plan can do that. There will be cross easements and interconnectivity. The design shall minimize queuing. There will be pedestrian traffic will be accommodated, and transit accommodations could be provided with DRBA or DLDOT on this site, but that would be handled in a site planning application. In your booklet, we have several other planning maps that discuss the future land use plan of Sussex County. The state's policy and spending map showing that it is located in a level 3 and 2 area. We have a zoning map that shows it being fairly contiguous with Route 1's corridor and commercial areas, as well as all the business and commercial opportunities that I just noted. The aerial photo puts it in context with existing conditions out there. You have a site plan, you have site data, you have a survey, you have a tax parcel subdivision map, should this be approved, that would be submitted. You have a tax map to show its context within other existing areas. You have a floodplain map. There are no floodplains, either 100 or 500 years within any portion of this site. You have a water recharge map showing how the site is in context with that. The USGS quad maps, soils maps, and a state resource area map showing how that relates to the subject property. We have other information beyond that divide of tab four that shows that there's been coordination between the owner and the Board of Public Works, where there's an existing easement on this land now, but the wells failed to provide suitable water for the town of Lewis. So they sought additional opportunities to expand their wells. They want to close one down close to the highway. They want to open up two additional wells. The owner does own this piece of land known as the Jones Farm and has allocated an easement area to accommodate a 750-gallon storage tank and two additional wells, as well as an additional, I believe, chemical facility to supply those wells. So that material is also part of this book. The we have had conversations with soil conservation based on specifically how to handle this site. Once we get into hard engineering, they're in line with our approach to that. The booklet also contains what I showed on the improvements to Gills Neck Road and Gills and Kings Highway. Under Gills Neck Road, it does show the cross sections, the landscaping, and the 60-foot minimum building setback. On Kings Highway, it also shows the same information as far as the multi-use path, the 60-foot vegetated buffer. As you move through tab six, it's the regional pedestrian connections are all defined internally and externally of this site. That's a diagram of those connections. The pedestrian circulation for this site, we anticipate that there'll be nearly 11,000 linear feet of sidewalk throughout this shopping center. We also anticipate there'll be 5,900 linear feet of multi-use path that goes around it, through it, and connects it. There's some illustrative pictures of what a typical streetscape and parking would be. We are looking at large pedestrian plazas in front of these stores that would accommodate landscaping, benches, trash, disposal units, and so forth, so that it becomes a very pedestrian-friendly shopping experience. There is an architectural rendering in the book showing storefronts and potentially what the Village Center could become. Again, that is illustrative. It is conceptual. Tab 7 is willing and able letters from different providers. And gentlemen, I have only one other item to offer to my presentation. At the beginning of it, I did say this was a unique application, and we do have a unique applicant. What I'd like to present here is just because this project is not being looked at just as this one piece, because the planning and zoning at our senator's hearing said they needed to look at the overall picture, I think it's opportune for us to present some of the proffers that are being put forth to the community at large that have nothing basically to do with the improvement of the site, but to the community at large, and put a dollar value on it. The Del Dot dedication along Gills Neck Road is nearly 4 acres and has a value to it of $750,000. And I'll go down this value, but I won't say what every one of these costs, but I'll give you the bottom line. Gills Neck Road improvements, including the engineering, the planted boulevard, the flattening of the curb, these are all expenses being borne by this developer. And there's no small expense. In that instance, I will quote, there's $2.25 million involved in that. The lot sale of Hawkeye for a contribution to the canal front project. These developers recognize they're part of this community. They gave to the canal front project a lot at Hawkeye worth about $220,000. They had a fire sale on it and sold it within weeks for $185,000. That money went directly to the canal front project. They have given the corridor easement for the bikeway, but they also constructed the concrete paved bikeway area through the Golden Eagle Drive at $192,000. To the fire department, they've committed from Hawkeye lot sales $40,000. They've committed an easement on the Junction Breakwater Trail that's worth about $300,000. The Lewis Public Library will get a contribution committed from the Senator's lot sales of $24,000. The EMS, which will be a contribution through the Lewis Fire Department from Governors, they are committing $47,000. Wolf Neck Headworks, which few of us realize needed improvements, and they wrote a check for $150,000 to Sussex County for some of those improvements. Granted, they're extending some of those improvements, but these go beyond just what they're extending. The reserve of lands on the Jones Farm, they've made a commitment to a group of the Performing Arts Center. Originally, the Performing Arts Center was going to be part of the commercial center. Based on dealing with marketing and people who actually want to come into the center, they preferred not to have the performing arts in the center, but based on the commitments, and because they own the Jones Farm, which is about a 33-35 acre tract of land, they've committed 5 acres to the performing arts center so that they can pursue their dream of putting together a facility for such. That commitment of 5 acres is worth about $1 million. They also are reserving lands at the Jones Farm for a multi-use path connection, so that not only will that path end the Kings Highway, if you cross Kings Highway, you can go through the Jones Farm. There's about 1 acre committed to that. The reserve of the lands of the Jones Farm for the City of Lewis for the Board of Public Works. Reserve of the lands of the Jones Farm for Kings Highway intersection and roadway improvements. That's illustrated on this plan where there will be a reserve of land so that an intersection could be opened up and left turns, right turns, and so forth can be accommodated. And there's another item that is not even being used, and it's a force main that's been installed from Kings Highway down Gills Neck Road through the Senators, through the Hawkeye development into the Wolf Neck facility. It's a 24-inch force main that runs through this entire lane to the Gills Neck Road. It is empty. It's vacant. But it costs this developer's $447,000 to do it for future hookups, for any other items that may come out onto or need that kind of hookup while it's being planned. They have a total value of committed and proposed contributions just under $6 million. And it doesn't include anything that might be for their entrance approvals for King's Highway and internal site improvements and so forth. And that's the conclusion of my presentation.
Tom, in the CR1 ordinance requirement, there are certain specific height, area, and bulk requirements that are applicable to projects where the cumulative effect of the buildings is greater than 75,000 square feet. I thought it was Tom. 75,000 square feet. Does this project meet the height, area, and bulk and setback requirements of the CR1?
It will, Mr. Schrader. It's because it's not a site plan, but it will meet all that, and it's identified in our report that they will comply with all that.
That's the only question I had, Mr. Ford. Gentlemen, I have also in attendance with me this evening Mr. Steve McCabe, who's a professional engineer with George Miles and Bureau to discuss stormwater management issues and wastewater issues related to the project. Just for the benefit of those people who are in attendance who aren't familiar with the way these things get handled, I'm going to present all of these experts and then make us all available for any interrogation by the commission before we go to the next level.
Right, sir.
Good evening. My name is Steve McCabe, professional engineer. I represent LT Associates, and I work for George Miles and Bureau, 400 High Street, Seaford, Delaware. As Mr. Ford had alluded to, and as Mr. Schrader had begun to explain, this project's been in planning for many years with Sussex County, and what you see on the display board is the same display from the previous hearing. It is for the entire lands of what's now known as the Townsend Village Center application, the governor's application, the senator's application, and what the county is referring to as the Phase 4 service area. This is a planning map generated by a sewer study commissioned by Sussex County government. It's dated 1999, and it outlines the entire green hatched area, which is the areas all these applications lie within. This area has been allocated 4 EDUs per acre for sanitary sewer, of which this application is less than half than 2 EDUs, or less than half 4 EDUs per acre. The aggregate sum of the EDUs that are available are in excess of the density that is being applied for under the Townsend Village Center, governor's and senator's and Hawk's Eye applications. As Mr. Ford also had explained to you, there is a sanitary sewer force main that is installed at the developer's expense that not only serves this project, but also has been upsized at the developer's expense to handle other EDUs for the community in excess of 3,000 units for future development and service areas between the Sussex County service area and the city of Lewis. As far as stormwater is concerned, there is a stormwater facility on the project, and there is also the vicinity of a body of wetlands that gives the site adequate access, and actually superior access, for stormwater discharge and stormwater treatment. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Schrader.
I do have one question for you, Mr. McCabe, and that is, can you tell me what effect, if any, this particular project would have on the infrastructure of the city of Lewis, and that is water and sewer?
None, to my knowledge. This project is being served by Central Water, by Tidewater Utilities, using wells that are away from the city of Lewis's wells. This project is using sanitary sewer provided by Sussex County, and does not impact the city.
Gentlemen, at this time I'd like to call Tucker Mooreshead to the podium. He's a hydrological engineer, and we'll discuss the hydrological issues and earth science data that applies to this particular project. And Tucker, since you are not someone who these folks are familiar with, I need for you to do me a couple things here. I need for you to identify who you are, what your education is, and what professional licenses you have.
Okay. I'm Tucker Moorsett. I'm a senior hydrogeologist with Earth Data Incorporated in Centerville, Maryland. I'm a licensed professional geologist in Delaware, and I've worked on the hydrogeologic resources of the Delmarva Peninsula for almost 30 years. This particular site, this particular property, had had some significant interest to me. In the mid-80s, our family would come to Rehoboth Beach on vacation, and my wife and I and friends would go up to the Hanlopen High School and play tennis. Being a hydrogeologist, I was at the time realized or knew that the little buildings that fronted the school property there were wells. Across King's Highway, there was a well with a center pivot, and it had a green tank. And having at the time worked on water supply projects in Delaware where high nitrates had caused shallow wells in Millsboro, Milton, and Milford to become contaminated with elevated nitrates, deeper wells were required. We were involved in designing and inspecting the construction of those wells. So I was concerned enough with the proximity of the farm fields with these wells that I called my predecessor at Denrec. I had worked at Denrec in the mid-70s. I called him to express my concern, and his what he told me was there's very little anyone could do about agricultural land in proximity to public water supplies. That being said, there are two concerns that have been raised here. One, that this property and the adjacent governor's property are in what are classified as high recharge areas, meaning that the soils are relatively sandy. Rainwater will percolate into the aquifer and then eventually discharge to two wells off property or to the estuary, nearby estuaries. With on-site irrigation, the amount of recharge that is available for any off-site use becomes limited. When the rainwater percolates into the ground, the irrigation well on the property intercepts that, puts it back, brings it back to the surface, and irrigates it. Most of that water is lost through evapotranspiration. The crops and the evaporative sources. So in essence, within the area of influence of that existing irrigation well, there is no recharge. It's as if there was an impervious surface there. The other factor that's even more of a concern to me, is the fact that nitrates are entering the groundwater in that area. Sad to say, agriculture has some adverse and negative environmental consequences. And one of these is the amount of nitrogen that's utilized on crops will be utilized in the future with the ethanol production. There's great concern over in the Chesapeake Bay watershed that increased the growing of row crops, particularly corn, will increase nitrogen into the groundwater. And that was one of the concerns I had with the city of Lewis's wells. In discussions with the city of Lewis, it turns out that the well closest to King's Highway is starting to see elevated nitrates to the point where they're considering possibly not using that well and moving further away. This subdivision will hopefully result in a cessation of any nitrogen getting into the ground there, I would expect that nitrogen would tend to increase a little bit in the city of Lewis's closest well, but in time level out and hopefully not reach 10 milligrams per liter. The well, subdivision is within the groundwater protected area where the main primary reasons that that area is designated are both to look at the quantity of water that's available and the quality of the water. This subdivision will solve that problem. There'll no longer be the competition for water that exists presently. Agricultural irrigation is a huge user of water on the Delmarva Peninsula. The net requirement for water will actually decrease when this goes from an agricultural use to a commercial and, on the case of governors, a residential use.
Tucker, a couple quick questions for you. You've referred to this as a subdivision. This is a commercial project, and there is a subdivision to be discussed later on. All of your comments relating to the hydrogeological issues located at this particular site, are they limited to the Townsend Village Center, or do they also include the governor's subdivision or governor's residential project that will be presented a little later this evening?
Well, they pertain to both, but Townsend Village Center obviously is closer to the city of Lewis's wells and has the potential for a greater impact. So that's where I tried to emphasize the comments I made were in that regard.
Are there any design features that could go into the Townsend Village Center that would help with any of the issues that you've discussed?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look for a net no net change, that's what I talked about. If you're looking for actually enhancements in recharge or improvements in the groundwater situation, then converting any stormwater catchment basins so that they would infiltrate, creating swales, taking in the case of the Townsend Village Center, taking water off roofs and infiltrating that under pavement or sidewalks or parking lots would actually result in a situation that's better than what exists there today.
Do you know if these design features are contemplated in this project?
Well, I've heard people talk about them, but I don't think that we're at an engineering level yet to actually look at design.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions of Tucker, and I'll ask Mr. Townsend to step up for a moment.
I'm Paul Townsend, LT Associates. I live in Wolf Point.
And you're one of the managing members of that organization?
Yes, sir.
And you heard all that has been said this evening by either me or Mr. Ford or Mr. Morshead or Steve McCabe. Do you acknowledge that those would be the responses you would give if you were speaking?
Yes, sir.
Could you just quickly describe the overall development of this project and the participation of LTA and public works projects in this area?
The overall development is basically the result of us wanting a commercial component to go with these residential subdivisions. It is more or less in conformity with Livable Delaware, as I read it. We were looking for a certain quality of retailer, and it's difficult to get without a certain amount of square footage. And we did get the quality of retailers we want, providing we can get approved and get this going with this particular size commercial subdivision. We have grocery, we have sporting goods, we have banks, coffee shops, etc. But what I've always thought is the beauty of this project is that we've been able to set it back, essentially create the big buffers, bring the big boxes away from the main drags, get them farther into the site. Based on what Tom Ford has done for us in the past with landscape design and architecture, I have every confidence in him that we would be able to make this place quite attractive as well. The the bike path issue and all of the pedestrian access was difficult, but it's absolutely critical and it's there. And we have put forth what we consider a very good faith effort. And we have central everything. That's what I hope we can get done.
Thank you, Mr. Townsend.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, I have submitted to Mr. Robertson earlier a proposed finding of facts and conclusions, as typically the procedure for matters before the Planning and Zoning Commission. In summary, I think that you can understand the position that we took at the beginning of this process this evening, that there was, in fact, no capricious intent on the part of anyone in the participation or processing of this application. Thought has been given to the two major issues that we're likely to hear from as the evening wears on. And that is that there is, in fact, traffic work that has been done, but regrettably, we cannot address the specifics of any traffic impact study response from the Department of Transportation at this time. And there has been given consideration to the hydrological issues that may affect the city of Lewis and the city of Lewis infrastructure. In doing these various things, I want to point to two things that we are aware of that have come in as a part of the opposition to this project. One of them is that there was a letter received late today from the Delaware Agricultural Lands Preservation Foundation, dated January 10th, expressing its opposition to this particular application. But it's interesting to note that in the last paragraph of that letter, that the author, Scott Blyer, who's a planner with the Department of Agriculture, stated that additionally, farmers' busiest times of year coincide with peak traffic volumes at resort areas such as Lewis. This combination of events has made such area more and more dangerous for farmers and the traveling public. I draw your attention to the fact that Mr. Townsend, when he testified here several weeks ago in the other project, pointed out that it had become extremely difficult because of traffic to move equipment back and forth on Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway. And I believe that we have come to the point in time where it may be incredibly too difficult to continue the type of farming operations that have previously taken place on this site. I also point out to you that the CR1 ordinance does require that this be adjacent to a major thoroughfare. This is a major thoroughfare as designated within the county's zoning plans. There are no objections expressed by either Department of Office of State Planning Coordination through the PLUS review. At this point, DelDOT has indicated the cooperative nature of the applicant and has indicated that there were only three comments that it wished to make. They also said that they would get us a TIS response, which we haven't seen yet. The last thing I want to bring to your attention is that there was at least one letter to the editor of the Cape Gazette that expressed an opinion that I thought was rather interesting. And it goes to the issue of Lewis, the historic Lewis, as we know and love it, and some of the issues that would be taken and should be taken into consideration by you all in considering this application. As examples, we will hear later this evening that there are 2,000 homes that are on this site or proposed this evening by the various applicants. The actual number only is 714, which is considerably less, including Cadwater and Breakwater, which are not our projects. There are going to be references to the downtown quiet neighborhoods that will become a shortcut to somewhere else, and the evacuation requirements of Kings Highway. And I believe also you're going to hear about the degradation of downtown Lewis, walking town, narrow interconnected streets, and the fact that this project is not designed to emulate downtown Lewis. Working backwards, let me say this. I don't think there is anything that can emulate the unique character of downtown Lewis, and it is not intended to do so. It is intended to serve a regional shopping need at a location outside the city of Lewis, and it is most likely not to attract traffic into town, but it is more likely to attract traffic and consumers out of town. The point of this is that there was a letter to an editor that said, quote, Lewis is a walking town because it has places to go that aren't too far, grocery, drugstore, bank, a library, churches, restaurant. If such facilities are not available in the new bedroom communities, their residents will very likely drive to the Lewis to find what they want, thereby adding to traffic on our neighborhood streets. This may not be the perfect answer to that writer's statement, but I believe it is an answer that satisfies the position that he wishes to be taken on behalf of downtown Lewis. With those thoughts in mind, gentlemen, we are all available to answer any questions that you may have of us about any of the points that we may know something about this evening.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we will begin with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, I'd like to state that it was a relief to have the materials 10 days ahead of time under the commission's new rules rather than the previous 72 hours, and I thank you for complying with that.
If you'll let me respond to that, Ms. Johnson, it was entertaining, what with the holidays and the transition to the new rules, but we're glad to comply.
And with that being said, I might have a few questions or points of clarification I will be seeking. One of those that I heard tonight is that you're proposing that the Performing Arts Center, which originally was part of, I believe part of this project, is now being moved?
Yes, sir.
And in its place, what are you proposing?
I'm going to let Mr. Ford address that, all right?
Mr. Johnson, if I may, while Mr. Ford's coming to the podium, I do want to remind the commission, just based on some of the information that was presented, and also for the public's benefit, I guess I should say as well, on a commercial zoning application such as this, we're looking at whether it's appropriate to be rezoned for CR1 zoning. Site plan issue, which is the specific design of the site and the uses that would be put forth, would come at a later date. Obviously I think they've presented information for informational purposes, but the commission isn't deciding on that. You have to take into account the full range of possibilities that might be put there.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There still may be theaters incorporated into the site plan, but I don't have that knowledge to testify right here at this point.
Okay. Then perhaps along the same lines, and given the acreage on the site, approximately how many square feet of retail space could be put on this plot of ground?
About 520,000 square feet.
Okay.
We had originally the application, it had 470, but the Performing Arts Center was 51.
50, yeah.
So it still comes out to 520. And that's what we're about maxing out on this site, could be encompassing the landscape buffers, the parking, and the stormwater.
So based on that, that's about the max that could be put on here.
You're looking at just under 8,000 square feet per acre.
Okay. And along with that, approximately how many parking spaces will we be talking about? That would go along with the 500 and...
Well, because of CR1 and because of the criteria that they require 20% additional parking, we are looking at normally a project of this size would include about 2,400 square feet, 24 to 2,500 parking spaces. The CR1 requirement for an additional 20% parking increase puts another 500 car parking in that, so we're at 2,970.
Just to be clear, that's additional parking required because it's over the 75,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's part of the CR1.
The large scale.
It's the bulk
criteria.
Part of the ordinance.
Yes.
And if this parcel ground was to remain in AR1, approximately how many houses would you be able to build on this project given the current zoning?
You could take 68 times 4 if we would have come in for the bonus density on 68 times 4. I don't have that number in my head.
207. 4 times 70 is 280, right?
Close enough. Yeah.
272, to be exact.
Thank you. But we have 68.3, so you had four times that.
275.
Okay.
273.
And what steps have you gone through to determine the need for a commercial development in this particular area?
I would leave that. It's the marketing pressures and things that the owners have had on this particular property, I think, prompted the size of the center that we're presenting here tonight.
And what impact would you anticipate the rezoning from the AR1 to the CR1 would have on the immediate area, and perhaps more importantly on the city of Lewis?
It's been my experience, and I grew up on Long Island, that the...
Excuse me, sir. I believe our attorney instructed you that you need to be quiet while someone else is speaking. If you open your mouth again, you're going to get to leave. All right, sir, go ahead.
But the lovely towns of Oyster Bay, Rosalind, Southampton, all were under fire from development that happened with the Long Island Expressway and strip centers and malls. And what's happened is it's preserved those towns. It's took the pressure off the town. The towns become the walkable. They don't end up becoming overrun with commercial demands. This area has proven itself to accommodate these kinds of commercial ventures. I look at what the state has done up in the Wilmington Riverfront and dumped nearly $228 million in trying to kick off that particular development, and the state has spent nothing on any of the outlets or commercial ventures out on Route 1. This area has been able to absorb that demand, and we believe that given the market pressures and clientele that are pursuing these kind of spaces, we believe this site will be adequately provide for that demand.
And I guess this is more response for you, Mr. Schrader, in terms of the editorial that you were referring to in the 2,000 units. When myself and staff looked at the proposed 242 lots and senators and the proposed 472 units and governors and Schofield, plus what's already been approved, I think the numbers comes out to 1,932. So that may be where they came up with the 2,000 that figure on that in terms of the Gill Neck Road and what's taking place in that area. Mr. Chairman, at this time, I think all my other questions were answered by the applicant.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
Yep, just a couple. Thank you. Explain to me what this project will look like from Kings Highway. What, looking in, Mr. Townsend made a statement that they're going to set it back, and we got a pretty good look on how Gill's Neck Road will look.
This isn't from Kings Highway.
Oh. Mr. Burton, I think they're having a little trouble here.
More or less, this particular drawing here represents this would be King's Highway here. There is some landscape area in the right-of-way now. There would be an additional 60-foot, and this would be the minimum landscape buffer between the highway and the parking areas, and then there's an 80-foot setback for the minimum first building that could be allowed. So along Kings Highway, we are proposing that we include that buffer. Gill's Neck is actually a lot stronger of a buffer because we're including the 60-foot, but because we're also in a 56-foot dedication area that puts in the multi-use path and landscaping, Gill's Neck Road is a little stronger than Kings Highway in its landscape requirements.
So the setback from Kings Highway to the first paved parking lot, first paved parking spot would be what?
60 feet.
60 feet along Kings Highway.
Yes.
And that would run from the head of the stormwater management pond all the way to Gill's Neck?
That would be, in certain areas, it may be larger than the 60 foot in here, but in a minimum setback would be 60 foot in these areas here.
And it would carry all the way down to the line of the property line?
Yes.
Every line there. Okay. You also mentioned that there would be good connectivity between the town center, Governors, and inside the town center, or at least walk safe pedestrian travel. How does that work?
We have a 10-foot internal multi-use path that runs through the Governors, through the Senators, and into Hawkeye.
Okay.
That would all interconnect and have a direct, if you wanted a bicycle down to get milk or...
That's a walking path only?
It's walking and it's multi-use.
Multimodal, but it's not a car.
No, it's not a car. And then we are looking at the, on the Kings Highway, there'll be a 10-foot path along, on Gill's Neck Road, there's a 10-foot path. Along Kings Highway, there's a 10-foot path indicated in white on this plan. But in addition to that, we're looking at coming into the site with that path and reconnecting the Kings Highway with that path so that there is plenty of access points at any given place to connect and utilize walking or biking or so forth coming through this center.
Okay. Thank you. You also stated, I don't know if it was you or Dennis, that you really haven't got any response from DLDOT, but yet the Gill's Neck Road turn is under engineering.
It is. That's correct.
So is that a response from them that proceed forward, or?
We have their agreement, the entrance locations and the concept of Gill's Neck Road, to the point of actually going under engineering with them.
The entrance location to this site?
Correct.
Okay.
That site, Senators, Hawkeye and Breakwater and Cadbury are already set, but we're going to have two additional entrances. One would service Senators, and this entrance here would service the Townsend and the Governors. That would be the second additional entrance point on Gill's Neck Road.
Second additions.
Okay, right. There's all the entrances to Gill's Neck Road are already approved, already constructed. That's Cadbury, Breakwater, Hawkeye, Wolf Run, Wolf Point, the whole crew. What's remaining is Senators. We are going to have an entrance on Gill's Neck Road, which DLDOT has agreed to its location for. And this entrance to Governors and the Townsend Center is the second entrance off of Gill's Neck Road that they've agreed to its location.
Okay. There are three entrances coming in to this site. There's three in and three out, right?
There are. This is a proposed right in, right out. No left turns, no left ends, right in, right out. The main entrance, which will be lighted, right in, right out, left in, left out. The Gill's Neck Road, you have all four movements on Gill's Neck Road as well. Right in, left out, the whole deal that you need at Gill's Neck Road. It also provides for queuing of cars and traffic as they move into the site. So there's pushback so that cars can line up. There will be a D-cell lane and an X-cell lane to help with movement in and on and through the site.
What would you say the distance is from Cave Neck Road to Gill's Neck Road?
From Clay Road to Gill's Neck?
Yep.
It's about 1,500 linear feet. The entire site's 3,500 linear feet. I've just It's a little less than half, so I'm going to say about 1,500 linear feet.
And one last question that you did say that the, or Dennis said that the traffic impact study was imminent. Was there any other date that they might mention?
I think the last information we had, Derek, was that it might be tomorrow, right? Or maybe the day after. I'm going to stand.
Sir, if you're going to speak, I need you to get your name and rank, serial number, all that good stuff.
This is Derek Kennedy of Orth Rogers, who's been working with the traffic impact study. The last word you had today was?
That we would have it today. We have a meeting with them tomorrow, so we may have it tomorrow. I mean, we've gotten to the point where it's within a matter of days as opposed to weeks or months in the past. So I think we're getting close. We're confident we'll have something by county council hearing.
And I need your credentials since you're testifying as an expert.
Sure. My name's Derek Kennedy. I'm a senior project manager with Orth Rogers and Associates. I have 15 years experience, and I'm a certified professional transportation planner.
Okay. Thank you.
We have one last one.
Go ahead, sir.
Where's the outfall in this stormwater management pond? Where does it outfall to?
Mr. McCabe.
Good evening. There are many opportunities for the stormwater management on this project. There are infiltration, there is underground infiltration, and then there is also direct spill into the wetlands. The wetlands that are there are linked into the inland bays and are deemed an infinite body of water. We have met with Sussex County and the Conservation District on the Senator's project and have done studies through the Hawkeye project and the other lands of towns and projects, and this is an ongoing process because this is an application for zoning and not a site plan. So at this time it's still under design, but there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of possibilities on this project.
Do you feel it'll be there where it is now?
Yes,
it's going to outfall into the Pot Hook complex. That's the Pot Hook Creek complex runs along this entire site.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy?
Just have one expansion on Mr. Johnson's questions. I don't think it was adequately addressed. Was there a study done on the need for this commercial area? And if there's not, how do you determine how much commercial area you need?
Hi, I'm Paul Townsend again. We did not do a study per se, but as we were planning this subdivision or this commercial application, people want to buy it and they want to put their own mall in there. We know from our living there, I live in Wolf Point, I've lived out there since 94. I lived in the neck since 94. And we have to go quite a distance to get our groceries, and we have to go. We run around to get things. We don't have that kind of a study, but we have, I'll just put it this way. We have deferred offers on this property for about 20 years. We've had people try and buy it from us and do this exact same thing. We did not want to sell it and see what happened. We thought that we could begin the process with Wolf Run in 87 and work our way through it and leave these lands the way we wanted to leave them, which was the entire creek bed intact and handed over to either Delaware or another conservation group. These have been good farms for us. It's just not the right place for us to be traveling. We don't have any illusions that taking these irrigation wells offline is not going to aid the quantity of water that's available to the city of Lewis, because we know what we pump. We have allocation permits. It's an awful lot of water. It's critical to the farming operation. But when the same nationwide developer tries to buy it from you in $50 million increments, we decided that they would blanket it with their product, and that's that, and then they'd go their merry way. We thought that we could leave these properties nicely developed and feel good about it at the end of the day.
So have you had contact with vendors and with interest?
Yes, sir. We have two major developers currently that I don't want to say are competing against each other because we don't have an approved project. Okay. If we have an approved project, we would be able to work with these two, decide which one, and get those particular clients. And you've hit on a good point. We don't have any contact with the major retailers of the world. We're farmers, and we do a little bit of residential subdevelopment. But these folks do. They came to us. They told us who they had on their list for a subdivision like this, and we were very pleased with it.
All right, thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe Mr. Moores had answered my questions, and I think I understand the application as a change of zone.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
No question.
Mr. Couts?
Just one question. Since Mr. Ford made a specific reference to the close comments, would this be appropriate time for me to correct the record, or should...
In what regard, Mr. Couts?
The portion dealing with the comments from Sussex County that were included in the plus letter were incorrect. And I did submit comments, but they were erroneously included.
Sorry. I do have the correct plus comments that I did submit to the state that for some reason had been dropped and not included. And
were they dropped by the state?
Yes.
Not by us, but by...
No. For some reason, the...
Different from what we
got from the state.
Yes.
And given.
I didn't discover that until I was looking at your response in preparation for the meeting today.
Okay.
We submitted it to the state. They didn't include it in their response to you.
Is it material?
Before we go, hang on just a second, Mr. Ford. Council, you want to think about that for a minute?
Yeah.
here's the issue with it. If they're part of the plus comments that come through from the state, the applicant, like all the other plus comments, has to respond to them,
right,
like they did to all the other ones. I think if they are admitted into the record, being that there were plus comments, that the applicant would have an opportunity to respond. I don't know if Mr. Schrader has a position on the admission of these. He probably not seen them. I don't know.
No, I haven't seen them. I suppose I'm somewhat taken aback by it because I know Mr. Counts goes to these meetings and does a good job in terms of representing the interests of the County Planning Commission, and I'm equally surprised that they didn't get incorporated. I guess my greater concern is to make sure that it's understood that we did not delete them.
That's correct.
People have a tendency to believe that evil developers will do anything and everything in order to get their message across, and we did not do this. For what it's worth, I suppose if we had Mr. Count's comments, we'll respond to them, and they're going to get on the record either here or at the county council level. So if we don't get them tonight, we'll get them tomorrow, and we'll deal with them in a couple weeks, Rick.
It appeared that the comments for the governors were duplicated as the comments right. for the towns and the Senate.
So that somebody made a mistake.
Yeah, it was clearly just an error. But
okay, I don't think we can really address that this evening because nobody's seen them.
Right.
So, however, if just the commission chooses to not act, to defer action, the record could be held open, because if we haven't seen them, certainly no one in the public perhaps has seen them, so they're going to want an opportunity to look at them, certainly, or I want them to have an opportunity to look at them.
Just for the, because everybody in the audience is probably wondering what it is we're talking about, it looks like as part of the plus comments that this... Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Todd. The Office of State Planning Coordination has a meeting, and they take all the agency comments that are submitted from state agencies, and also Mr. Couts goes, and there's comments from typically from the County Engineering Department, and then they put all that together in one letter, and they submit it into the record, which some of you may have seen and is also in the exhibit book. And then the applicant gets to, has to, respond to those comments. In this case, it appears that the state just copied the county's comments for the next application in this letter and didn't include Mr. Couts' comments
Correct.
And it's a plus report for this application. And so really, it's essentially two things that we're talking about here. It's one, it's Mr. Couts' comments, which are from a planning standpoint, and two, it's the Sussex County Engineering Department's comments, which look like they deal with EDU issues, which that may or may not be such a relevant matter because I think maybe the engineering department's put their information in the record. But that's what it is we're talking about this evening. And I think, though, if it's going to be put into the record, since the applicant had not seen him, had not commented on him through the PLUS process, and certainly the public's not seen him and have an opportunity to review him and rely on them or comment upon them, that if they are going to be considered, that the commission take into account possibly deferring the record so that everybody gets a chance to see it and comment on it. Sorry for the long answer to a short question.
Well, you are a lawyer.
Yeah,
can I ask one question? Mr. Couts' bill, just three paragraphs, correct?
It's
on the first page?
Well, yes, yeah, and engineering department comments.
But the engineering comments are the same that we received this afternoon.
I mean,
the engineering departments are, yeah.
I mean, for those from the applicant that were at the meeting, you know what the comments were because we talked about it. So it's just confirming in writing what we talked about at the meeting. So that's why I didn't pay much attention to what was in the written comments from the state. So,
can I offer a solution?
Sure.
The three comments and that Mr. Couts made have been alluded to in one way or another as we've passed through the evening. I think Mr. Johnson, whose area of interest this in, always likes to see the comment and the counter comment from the applicant. If we could have till Monday, Tuesday, it shouldn't. Well, it's three paragraphs. To supplement the record.
That's reasonable, and as you know, the normal procedure would be to hold the record open at the end of the public hearing for a certain period because you're going to want to respond to them and the public's going to want to see them.
Sure.
So I would say there will be at least that much time available. So, yeah.
That would be fine.
Okay. All right, then.
That's all.
That's it. Okay. Before we continue on down the line, Mr. Johnson does have one other question.
Well, I'll ask this of Mr. Ford, if I might. That way I can ask a long question, maybe get a short answer. just a point of clarification, Mr. Ford, that in addition to the paved multimodal pathways that are going to interconnect with the Hawkeye and Senators and Governors and to this project, am I correct in that there's also going to be internal roads that interconnect from Hawkeye through so that it's potentially someone who lives in Hawkeye will be able to travel on these internal roads without having to enter and exit on Guild Neck Road?
Correct.
Okay.
And Mr. Johnson,
short answer for a long question.
Under tab 6, if you were to peruse that, I think a lot of the detail of that will be explained.
Well, I read that in the material, but your response to Mr. Burton was addressing the pathway for, you know, bicycles and walking. I just wanted to make sure that was part of your proposal as well, and that hadn't been deleted along with the theater.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're good. All right. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Hey, Council?
No questions at this point. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right, then. We thank you, gentlemen. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two. We're going to start with those in favor. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1630 LT Associates LLC?